listen, baby. Let's take a minute and talk about what turned this home into a house. I don't know what this was about, but been through too much not to work it out.
I'm so excited to have my guest. She is a Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, actress, and television host. She's also the founder and CEO of She Lean Lifestyle and an advocate for healthy living in mind, body, and soul, Miss Selena Johnson.
I've been singing, and I was singing with my dad, and I sent my tape in to a record exec. But I had already been singing, and I had already been, in school and classical training, and had already recorded 3 albums already before I was even signed. So I had been recording since I was 15 years old. And then I gained the interest of record executive Wayne Williams, the same guy who discovered R. Kelly, and Mystical. A couple of others. They signed me. I sent my tape to him, and they signed me in 4 months. And then the rest is documented history.
Wow.
Child, here we are. 20 years later.
Well, speaking of your dad, I know Rebirth of Soul, The Rebirth of Soul, was produced by your dad, but it was also written by your dad as well, right?
Well, no. Rebirth of Soul was produced by him because all of the songs are original records from other artists. So, but he definitely that's producing. He created the band to play the music because the music was done live. The album was done with live musicians, every single instrument, so nothing was computerized.
Gotcha.
Which is different in this day and age. So
right.
It took a whole lot to do it, but we did. Yes, we did now.
It said the hardest song that you've ever written was My Heart is Open. Now, your music, is it written like with love, a place of healing times? Like, where do you go in your mind when you write? Because I write a lot of poetry. And I think sometimes I write because I'm angry, or it may not come from a place of love. How do you feel when you're writing?
Well, music doesn't have to come from, hearts and flowers and stars all the time.
Right.
How would we be able to really write about experiences if we can't tap into the raw emotion that comes from those experiences? So for me as a writer, I speak from my own point of view, from my own experiences, because I feel like they're the most impactful.
Yeah.
And I started off writing poems and plays and books. Like, I was a writer before I was even trying to sing. I wouldn't let anybody read it because I was very young doing it, and I had like curse words and stuff in it. So I didn't want anybody to see it. But my first album was basically an album full of journal entries. So chapter one, Love, Pain, and Forgiveness, each song was actually the document of poems that I would write when I was going through this very ridiculously tumultuous relationship with a man. And during that time, I kept a journal. And sometimes in the journal, I would just break and write a poem. Or sometimes my journal entry would be a poem.
Wow.
And so what I did was, when I was signed and it was time for me to write albums, write the album, I just went to my journal and turned those poems into records.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think that, and not every song is like that of mine. A lot of times, one time I was pregnant and I was in the shower. I was pregnant with Kingston. I was in the shower and I was hot. And so I was like, I just want to cut all this shit off my head. So I got the song idea of I Cut My Hair.
7 long years I grew my hair for you. 'Cause it's the one thing about me you loved so much.
I had a dream about the song Harmony. Good Charge of the Heart. I was in love with this one man. But Chapter 2, I was just under the anointing. But I was a secular artist. So that was my way of expressing myself and giving glory to God without anyone kind of knowing. It was like my own, personal love album to him. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the songs on Chapter 2 are to God and not to a man.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, just different things. But I'm very thematic. So all of the albums, they come from a biblical place. Chapter 1, Love, Pain, and Forgiveness. It comes from the entire chronological order of Adam and Eve, man and woman on this earth. So Love, Pain, and Forgiveness, God so loved the world. He loved the angels and all that, And then Satan was off the chain, so he got cast down to earth, but God forgave him and moved on.
Right.
So he loved him. Satan caused pain, but then he forgave him. Love, Pain, and Forgiveness.
Mm.
Chapter 2, The Voice. When they were down, when God created the earth and he put Adam on earth, we created him from dusk and had him on earth. He used to speak to them. He used to speak to them. They would hear the voice of God. So Chapter 2 was the voice. Me being in tune with the Holy Spirit and having better discernment. I went through a divorce through Chapter 2. Chapter 3, the divorce was final, child, love, pain, and forgiveness. chapter 3, the flesh. So Chapter 3, the flesh, what happened? Eve came down to the Garden of Eden and turned up. She ate the apple. God punished her. She ate the apple. She was subject to her flesh. So Chapter 3, the flesh, that's when I kind of was in a place of like, whatever, I've been married, I'm about to turn up.
Right.
And then Chapter 4, love pain, labor pains. Because after she ate the apple, he gave her labor pains as a punishment.
Mm.
Chapter 5 was the in my mind, for me, was the story of David and Goliath. Underrated. And Chapter 6 is the book of Corinthians, which is couples therapy.
Wow.
So this new one actually has no chapter to it. It's actually coming. And it encompasses everything that I've gone through from chapters 1 through 6.
Wow.
And what it means and what it sums up to just one word that I've not yet released. I haven't. But it is just sums up. It's just there's one word that sums up the entire process of my entire musical career and dance, really.
This had to be like a thorough thought process for all of these different chapters. Yeah.
Yes, I am a thinker, and even the songs and interludes are all thought out. Everything was placed specifically, and I'm just this type of person. I also have OCD, so I'm an A-type personality. So like stuff has to be a certain way, but I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
So for me, chronological order is very important because I'm a storyteller. I tell stories.
Well, that's like couples therapy.
Yeah.
I was like amazed. I mean, the scene that you had with Willie.
Yeah.
I was jealous.
Very fun scene.
Yeah.
And the scene with my husband was fun as well.
Yeah.
my husband in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, still telling the story, trying to tell the story of what this album is about. Basically, the whole tone of the album is just that you're going to go through things and then you can still stay together. That doesn't make you a bad person or a bad couple.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it hazardous. It doesn't make it, not purposeful. That can still be your soulmate. Just because, you got married doesn't mean that person's going to never hurt you. Right. Where does it say that?
Is that why you decided to write The Wait Is Over? It's like a self-help, like a motivational book.
Well, The Wait Is Over came to me again in a dream. I woke up one morning and that title came to me and what the title is supposed to be. It began as, women in the industry, we go through so much because of our body image and it's not fair that we have to look like perfect. And then out here looking like Rick Ross.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair. Or Biggie Smalls. That shit just right. not fair. You know, and then they still sell millions of records. You know. So it started from that energy.
Yeah.
Okay, which probably wasn't much. But what it manifested into was more so why I felt like that. And was it really about the outside world? Was it really about how others perceived me, or was it about how I perceived me? Right. And not just about how I perceived me, but what I'm dealing with in my life, the pressures that I'm allowing to weigh heavy on me to make me come to these conclusions, to push me to come to these conclusions, or facilitate these illusions, if you will. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, just because you see something the way that it is doesn't always mean that it's true. It's really about, there's your story, there's somebody else, what they think about you, there's what you think, there's what somebody else thinks, and then there's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wait is over is an attempt to seek the truth. That's why most of the time, like in every chapter of the book, I try to find the accountability piece. Because we have to figure out why we're perceiving things a certain way. What's happening where you mentally came to this conclusion about yourself, about others, and about the world, and how you're living in it.
Right.
And what really needs to be done? Why is the weight there? Why did the weight start? Feel me?
Yeah.
And that's why I start the book in a race. Because that's really what life is all about. It's an ongoing race. There will be falls. There will be ups and downs. There will be all kinds of things that go on along the race, but it's about the substance in between. And how did this shit start in order to reverse these patterns, whether they be negative or positive?
Well, where did you find the strength to overcome all of the pressures that are in Hollywood and the world that we live in when it does come to body image and health and everything else?
Well, who said I overcame them? I know what you're saying. In real life, they're never going to be totally and completely done. Like, and even in the book, there is no, the conclusion is not, I don't know if you read the whole thing, but in the conclusion, it's the truth is the wait is never over. The wait is never over. How you perceive it and how you deal with it is how you can, is how you lift it. Instead of looking at the weight and letting the weight bog you down, lift it. Use it to build muscle. So for me, it's about not worrying about what the world or what the industry feels about me, or if the industry loves me. My goal is to turn my focus into loving on me. The more that I love me, the less that what anybody else says about me will matter.
Gonna bother. Yeah.
Because I will love me regardless, which is why I don't wear weaves. I don't wear weaves. I don't wear wigs on Sister Circle. I refuse. One, 85% of the hair care in America, black hair care, is natural.
Yeah.
It's for natural hair.
Yeah.
That right there is saying society giving us a bone for finally.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that we can be who we were born to
natural.
Be, and that can be beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, not to say that women who wear wigs and women who wear weaves are bad and terrible. That's not what that means, because technically, on television, that's a protective hairstyle. And actually, I've worn braids, and in my shows, you might catch me in a wig just because I don't want to do my hair. I don't want to put heat on it.
Right.
But every day, I fight to wear my own hair. I fight. Listen, I'm up late at night. Put rollers in my hair, child.
You got good hair.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm doing.
I've seen.
I'm doing the twist outs. I'm doing all kinds of stuff because I want women to say, "See, that's the length of my hair.
Yeah,
that's my real hair.
Yeah,
and I could do that and still feel and look beautiful.
Yep. I've been natural for 3 years now, and my daughter has been natural from birth. So she's 5 now.
See? and in our society. Back when I came in the game, that wasn't acceptable. That, I mean, it was, but you were like NDRE or some, like you would be thought of as neocentric or neo-soul or whatever, you know what I'm saying? When really, I should be able to wear my own hair and do what the hell I want to wear it, do with my own hair.
Yeah.
Like, and if it's not real long down my back, that should be okay. Because I know for me, that was a thing. You know, that was a feat. And I have a decent grade, I guess, a more manageable grade of hair. But still, it wasn't enough. I was trying to live up to the standards of what society wanted me to be or what I thought should be, because I'm an entertainer. You know, when you first come in a game, you just want to try to, you want to sell records, you want to please your record label. You're young, you want to be, you know, you want to do your thing. But now, I'm like, listen, it is what it is. I like me this way. If you don't, that's on you.
Yeah.
So overcoming it is the key ingredient in overcoming any type of hate from the outside, whether it be from others or yourself, or disdain, whether it comes from the industry or discourse or anything that is uncomfortable, that makes you feel uncomfortable or have low self-esteem, is over-loving yourself. Self-love. Somebody get on your nerves, somebody say something bad about your outfit, take a picture and the shit and post it. Somebody don't like your hair, take a picture up close and post it. Wear that same hairstyle all week on purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And eventually, when you love on you so much, they can't help it. They got to love you back.
Yes. I love that. How do you find the time to do all that you do? I mean, I was looking at the website, SheLeanLife.com, and you have like workout video, like you got so much stuff going on in the show. How do you find time to even work out and eat healthy? And
well, you know, I'll tell you what, I utilize every moment of my day wisely. And I mean that with everything in my heart. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I get my workout in and out the way.
Wow.
And I don't lollygag when I'm in the gym. I get it in, I get it out. I get my steam in. So right before the show, I'm ready. I'm woke.
Yeah.
I'm in a way, my day has already started at 4 a.m. Wow. So going on at 9 a.m. is nothing to me because I've already been up 5 hours.
Right.
So that's first. So my day starts off positive and uplifted every morning because I got a workout in and got my endorphins all going on. And if I don't work out in the morning, I do yoga at night.
Okay.
So I utilize every moment to my advantage. Like after like my interview being in the car, I know I'm going to be in the car for a good 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I know this is, again, utilizing every moment. I know it's going to be quiet. There are going to be kids around. I'm going to be able to focus. You know what I'm saying? So I plan my life where it works for me. Number two is I have a team. I have a solid team of people that I've had in my life for over a decade.
Wow.
Everybody that works on my team has been in my life for over a decade, if they're not family.
Yeah.
I don't like new people. I don't deal with new people. I keep the same
crew,
and I move the same every time.
Yeah.
That's how I've been able to stay out of a lot of dumb shit in the industry, like drugs and being an alcoholic and all of that, because I have a foundation that holds me accountable for dumb shit.
Yeah.
I was raised different. I was raised white. And those same people keep me accountable. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean I ain't been out here and have tried this or tried that or whatever. You know, I've never tried anything that's white because I saw the commercial, this your brain on drugs.
Oh.
So you're not going to get me to do crack and cocaine and shoot no needles and shit, because I don't even like immune shots. So I'm not, definitely ain't finna put no needle in my arm and no crazy shit like that. Now in college, I got my weed smoke on, but then that fucked up my vocal cords. So I was like, oh, hell no, I can't be out here and not sing. So that was the end of that.
Yeah, you had surgery.
I didn't have surgery. I opted not to have surgery because I was scared it's going to change my voice, but I had vocal rests for a real long time. And I was drinking too much. I got acid reflux. So then I couldn't even talk till like 2 o'clock in the day.
Wow.
So I've been through my stuff. You know, it's just that I have people around me that have kept me accountable. And my team helps me. I have a living assistant. You know what I'm saying? So that helps.
Yeah.
That helps me in sister circle. Not only is she my assistant, and then people have dual roles. So she's my living assistant and she's my stylist. How easy is that?
Yeah.
Then, you know, my sister is my manager and my agent. You know what I'm saying? So, my accountant, and everybody's a black woman.
And, And you know, you know what's funny?
Sorry.
I wasn't even going to mention it, but it's funny because you just said your sister. You know, she was my professor at Berklee College.
Wow. So you know she crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody is to that level. Everybody's very efficient. They don't play no games.
Yeah. I mean, you've always been very open, and I am such a fan of yours. R&B Divas, Atlanta, Marriage Boot Camp. Why have you been so open like that?
Transparency is a characteristic of a leader.
Mm.
I'm a leader.
Love it.
It's very simple. Okay. I can't lead anyone anywhere if they don't know the truth about who I am.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean I'm walking around just, hey, girl, guess what? I did this last week. You know? No, because I'm also private.
Mm.
I'm the type of person that doesn't like for people to come over my house. I don't like people that know my, I don't like people to know my address.
Gotcha.
I don't like I'm very private. Like, yeah. And again, I don't like new friends.
Yeah.
I don't like new people cohabitating in my environment.
Right.
I have very strong discernment. I can see crazy people from 10 billion yards away. And if people start to act in a fool, I get rid of them quick. I get that from my father. I'm very, very crazy like that. Very, very attentive.
You think that's that Shot Town mentality?
It could be very Chicago, you know. We are the type that will hit the ground when we hear shots. You don't look around to see who's shooting. So, yes, it's very Harvey/Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
And most people from Chicago are this way. However, most people I know from New York are just as crazy.
Yeah, so, I don't that's know. True.
North, South, Central LA.
Yeah. I'm from Harlem.
But, yes, hello, somebody. You hit the ground, too. You see, so you know what's happening. But I think, you know, transparency is a characteristic of leadership. You cannot lead people if you cannot be accountable on your own shit.
Mm.
You have to be able to say, I didn't do well with that. I didn't do good with that. Or that's my bad. Or because you have to be able to set a strong and progressive example for others.
Yes. Wow. Well, what can we expect from you? You know, we have this book now. You're on Sister Circle. I think there's some more music going on, some
there's
more movies.
Yes, there's an album. There's a documentary that goes with the album. I have not disclosed the name yet, but I'm dropping the chapters, and there's just going to be one name.
Okay.
And that album will probably come out first or second quarter of next year.
Awesome.
It's almost done.
Awesome.
The book is, of course, Going the Wait is Over. That just released October 15th.
Yes.
So we're just getting started working that. Sister Circle is every day, 5 days a week, 12 p.m. on TV One Eastern.
Nice.
There's also multiple shows that I am trying to create.
Okay.
Well, not trying to create, that I have created, that I've been pitching to other things. Also, Aspire picked up the movie, Couples Therapy.
Congratulations.
So, Aspire will be playing Couples Therapy a whole bunch of times, but that won't start until 2020.
Okay.
Top of 2020, because they've done their whole roster of movies for 2019.
Gotcha.
So I just signed a deal with them, so that's cool. I'm a brand ambassador for New York company, so hopefully I'll be able to get my own line next year, which would be awesome.
That would be completely awesome. I am a
super
shopper.
Super awesome. I love the different company. They're the best.
Yes,
their clothes
are
so cool, and they've stepped their game up.
Yes.
Good quality clothing. And just, you know, being a mom, I'm a yoga instructor. I teach yoga one night a week at John's Creek Hot Yoga. Just doing my thing, living my life to the absolute fullest.
Yes.
You know? Being blessed and happy somewhere.
Well, my favorite two songs on the album so far is We Did It and The Makings of You. So
okay.
I'm definitely going to play those. But thank you so much for all your time.
Curtis Mayfield. We did it in my dad.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're remakes. Everything on the album is a remake of someone
else. Yeah, it said like 1960s, 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
1970 is Makings of You.
Expression of happiness, poor, yeah.
I had such an amazing conversation with Selena Johnson. I forgot to mention, she's a TV host on Sister Circle. And now she is an author of The Wait Is Over, My Journey to Loving My Body from the Outside In. Such an amazing soul, an amazing spirit. Even though it was a phone conversation, I felt like it was deeper than that. I hope you guys support her, purchase her book, follow her career, and watch her on Sister Circle. Thank you so much, Selena. You have no idea how much this conversation meant to me.
As a child, we lived on a soul food diet and could eat heavily without gaining a pound. In fact, we were encouraged to clean our plates. This was the mantra of most Black families, and I suspect there is a percentage that still receives that encouragement to this day. My mother, along with the rest of the family, viewed food as a way of showing love. Our meals, though unhealthy, represented family and fulfillment, and we didn't worry much about what role food played in our overall health. I enjoyed our family dinners and the food we shared. There weren't any instances where I even thought of food or the behavior of the family's thoughts toward food as negative. As I got older and learned more about my own behavior and thoughts toward food, I realized that how we choose and consume food is closely related to how we were taught to eat as children. Consequently, if I love food and eat all day, I could genuinely believe that I was loving myself. I would later find out how wrong I was.
In 2012, Carly Sakin and Daniel Weisberg founded The Skim from their couch. Now, 6 years later, their morning newsletter gives over 7 million subscribers the news and information they need to start their day. When they first started the company, they got a lot of advice from other female entrepreneurs. Now they're sharing those conversations and more on their podcast, Skimmed from the Couch. Every week, you'll hear from women like Arianna Huffington, founder of The Huffington Post, and Thrive on why she puts her phone to bed at night. Or how actor Taraji P. Henson got over her first rejection and learned how to negotiate for herself. It's a podcast about the real stuff. Tips and tricks to launch, grow, and change your career. The only rule on the couch? No BS. Check out Skim from the Couch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like a bird flying so high. It's high.